Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. We'll be talking about a very important subject today. It's timely. We're going to talk about cancellation of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Is that all right with you? Do you think we need to cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas? That's what our officials are telling us. It's what the governors and mayors across America are saying. That's what Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and the World Health Organization and the ilk like that are telling us, that we need to just cancel Thanksgiving. In fact, there's a mantra today that's being broadcast nationally. Just cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas. Have something greater next year. That's the mindset today that we're being told. We're going to talk about that today. We want to determine, is this necessary? Is it required? Is there any science behind it that validates that recommendation to greatly reduce the number of folks in your Thanksgiving or Christmas celebration, or to simply cancel it altogether? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is very clear that God sets forth the standard, and the standard is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The standard is the truth book. That's the Bible. The truth book. As we look at the truth book, let me tell you, in John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Then he further elaborates on that by making the bold statement, if you call it that, the Youngblood vernacular calls it that. John 17, 17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth of the word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word that we should stand upon, that we should stand for. It was the secularist George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're living in those days at this very moment. If you want to disavow that, or if you want to disbelieve that, just stand on truth. If you were to simply say to a group or an individual that masks are not necessary, all of a sudden, you're the oddball, you're the out person, because they'd argue with you that it is necessary. What is truth? It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I think, ladies and gentlemen, the closer we get into the last of the last days, we're going to find that Christians must defend the truth more than ever before. And more than ever before, I believe we'll be prosecuted and persecuted for standing for the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In fact, there are some that believe, and I am prone to believe, that the closer we get in the last days before the rapture of the church takes place, the more we'll see the repression of the church and for Christians and for the continuation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth. And we will wind up being what would be called an underground church. In fact, I read an article this morning on early morning online news that said that a person talking said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's just shut the churches down. We start meeting secretly in our homes, and the government can't harm us or hurt us or do anything." Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the demonic satanic movement is all about today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that I can answer all of your questions about lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic Old Glory, the American flag flying. The flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road is about 165 feet in the air. It has that gigantic flag. In fact, I'm told it takes about 8 to 10 men to lift that, get that flag airborne and up on the flagpole. So, ladies and gentlemen, find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the bottom of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest with us that we'll introduce in just a moment. First, we want to do a brief monologue to kind of set the stage of where we're going and what we'll be talking about in today's broadcast that I believe is so vital for each and every one of us, especially as conservatives, as patriotic Americans, or as Christians. We need to be concerned about what we see taking place to disintegrate and to denigrate our society and to cause us to continue to live in hysteria and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is more and more divided today. I believe, you can differ if you like, I believe we're more divided today than in the pre-Civil War days. Today, I believe we have a serious deception that's being promoted through the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party and the Marxist media called the fake news that President Trump calls it, and I believe he's exactly right. Although, ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19 is a serious pathogen, I don't diminish that one whit. It is a serious pathogen. But, ladies and gentlemen, the death rate is still just about 1%, just about 1%. And the media and the socialist talking heads today continue with that scare mongering and the hysteria pushing by announcing every new case. And when they call it a new case, let me just identify that, ladies and gentlemen, every new case that they identify, primarily simply saying there's been another positive test. We're testing millions upon millions per day. And as those tests increase, the number of positive results increase. But ladies and gentlemen, so many of those that test positive, they don't go to the hospital, they don't go to the doctor, they don't take any medication, but state after state after state continues to issue new and tighter restrictions as a result of these so-called new cases. That should cause you to be alarmed. That should cause a serious question in the heart and the mind of any serious thinker in society today. These new control mandates that are being rolled out by the hysteria found in the marble castles of our governors and many of our mayors across America, especially in the blue states. When I say blue states, I'm talking about the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic states, those communist, democratic parties, where they want to restrict citizens. They want to restrict and control we the people. They want us to become sheeple and not people. And we the people should be in control, not the ones that are mandating by fiat, without legislative intent, without legislative law. And as I believe it was DOJ, Bill Barr said months and months and months ago, that it's simply executive orders. It's not law. Ladies and gentlemen, law is when it goes through the process of a bill being introduced. It's discussed in committee and subcommittee. It's brought to the full floor. It's voted on. And if passed, then it's signed by either a governor or a mayor, if it's a city council doing that. Then it becomes law. Other than that, it's simply idle thinking. It is hopeful wishing. It is executive orders that have literally no fundamental foundation in our constitutional law and what we need to adhere to. But we have a total nation that's divided today. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, I believe perhaps more than the pre-Civil War days when we had a divided nation. And the division today is being manipulated, controlled, and being carried out in order to motivate and push people to do what the governmental authorities are wanting us to do. And that's simply antithetical to what we ought to do as a free people. So let's just, leading up to our introduction of our guest today, I want us to just look at a kind of a litany of those things that are taking place in the realm of the vaccination, the realm of the mandate requirements, et cetera. So some of these things that have been issued, some of these executive orders that have been issued right here in the city of Jacksonville, our mayor can simply each 30 days issues a new update on his executive order for a mask recommendation. It calls it a recommendation, and yet most of the merchants are living in panic-stricken fear, thinking that it's a mask mandate, and so they're ostracizing customers and those that have been following their business model for years and years and years simply because they think that they're going to be thrown in jail if they don't adhere to the, quote, mask mandate. I was recently thrown out of a place of business because I don't wear a mask. Business that I dealt with for 35 years, buying my eyewear, Bob Ham's eyewear. And the little tattooed lady jumped up from behind the counter and said, just get out. Get out of here. Just get out. Because I said, I don't wear a mask. And I simply told her that my constitution won't allow me to wear a mask. And she got a little irate with that. But ladies and gentlemen, these mayors and governors issuing these new executive orders, social distancing, may I remind us, it's the first time in history that we've had this so-called social distancing. The fact that you cannot travel to other states unless you have a COVID test and you're then quarantined for 14 days to make sure you don't transmit it to another state. Mask mandate. Masks can be worn inside and outside the homes now, according to some of the masquerades, as I call it, that's taking place. The Republican Maryland governor, Larry Hogan, this article says, during a media briefing about the coronavirus, had no one had the, quote, no one has the constitutional right to walk around without a mask on, he says. The dubious claim was made by Hogan while he announced further coronavirus pandemic restrictions on Monday. He says, and I quote, there's no constitutional right to walk around without a mask. Well, I got news for him. There's no constitutional right for you to mandate that I wear one. It is simply not in our Constitution. The mask mandates, they're saying now you need to wear one in the home, outside the home. I watched someone the other day as I was driving down the highway, had a huge mask on. I don't see how I could see over the mask to drive, but he was driving. Had his latex gloves on, all the windows up, and his mask on. He was really, really up to par, if you will. Then there's the celebration of Thanksgiving and Christmas, the new mandates. We'll cover these, and then we'll introduce our guest, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to talk about some of these issues today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You can feel free to call that number. Join in the dialogue and discussion today, and I pray that you will, to be informed and encouraged and challenged to stop the hysteria, stop living in fear of what the government may say. But the celebration of Thanksgiving and Christmas now has new mandates, new regulations. That is, the not more than six people can be in your home. And those six must be of your home and not coming from another home, even though they may be family members coming from across the street or across the state or down the street or across the neighborhood. They can't come in your home this Thanksgiving and Christmas now, according to these Gestapo dictators that's telling us that. In fact, one article tells us the grandparents sent a cutout cardboard of the family to help keep them company for Thanksgiving. It says this year many families will be celebrating Thanksgiving on a much smaller scale than normal for so much of what Thanksgiving is about is spending time with family. So the separation between members is especially sad this year. So this article talks about one family in Rockwell, Texas, that the grandparents are not being invited to come to Thanksgiving, and the family cannot come over to their house for Thanksgiving. So they cut out a large picture, poster that they made from a family picture and sent it to all family members and says, that'll be our Thanksgiving gathering this year. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that could be any more sad than that kind of setting, that here grandparents that may not be in this world a year from now, that's being told that you cannot have them in the home because of the governmental orders. Thanksgiving, six in the family, gathering to be no more than 2 hours. All must wear a mask. You should eat outside, they say. Every family not living in your home should not come to visit you on this Thanksgiving and Christmas. Get a COVID test before you go into the Thanksgiving dinner with your family and for Christmas this year. There's the ladies and gentlemen, they're continuing with the new lockdowns for businesses. They're talking about a total lockdown, orders from governors to snitch on neighbors if they have more than six in the family. I'm looking at an article that's frightening. It says, governor urges citizens to call police on neighbors who violate the lockdown order. Oregon's Governor Kate Brown That's a Looney Tunes state anyway, ladies and gentlemen. It's all right to have all kinds of hard drugs that they just passed the legislation to approve, but it's not all right to have your family over for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're saying if you're a neighbor and you see that a family has more than six in their home, call the police, call 911, the governor of Oregon says. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of these things are violating our constitutional rights. We need to understand that. The question should be asked simply this: are these new regulations, restrictions needed? Do we have any medical evidence that masks work to prevent COVID spread? Will social distancing prevent COVID spread? Should citizens continue to live in panic and fear? Just what should we comply with as American free citizens today? Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a physician that's with us to address these issues, some of these vital questions. Let's face the issues. We'd like to welcome today Dr. Stephen Grable. Dr. Grable, I'm thankful that you're with us. Let me just give our listeners a little brief biographical of your background in medical care as a physician. Dr. Grable has been practicing medicine and holistic medicine care, medical care for over 20 years. Dr. Grable is a board-certified internal medicine doctor. Dr. Grable's clinic, complementary care center, providing patient care in our area. Dr. Grable, welcome today to Let's Face the Issues. I'm delighted that you've been willing to take time out of a busy schedule to join us. But thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, I appreciate you having me on.
It's always our delight to have someone that has a deeper level of understanding and authority on a subject than the general public would have. Dr. Grable, before we start with some questions and comments and dialogue and discussion for the benefit of our listeners on this broad subject of COVID-19 and the broad subject of the governmental interference with our lives and forcing masks and forcing the lockdowns and forcing future vaccinations, would you please take a few minutes, tell our listeners about yourself, about your practice, about your philosophy on treating your patients, etc.?
Sure. Well, I've been in practice for 30 years. I did 5 years of conventional, where I basically had a hospital practice and, you know, kind of threw drugs at everything like most of the docs do. And 25 years ago, I became aware this really wasn't an optimal way to practice. So I added what has been coined functional medicine into my practice. I use medicines on a daily basis, but I try to avoid them if possible and try to seek more natural ways of, you know, strengthening the body and helping the body to heal. It's interesting, if you look at the conventional medical view, they believe that you're kind of going along doing your own thing and disease sort of overtakes you and we have to rush in with drugs or surgery to correct the problem. Whereas my belief system is really more like a naturopath, where I believe that the body will typically get sick when it gets out of balance. And if we can get the body back into balance, the body will take care of itself.
I'm in agreement with that. And that fact, that sounds wonderful. I can recall just a few years back that I was sitting in a physician's office. He had a particular specialty. And he sat there and reviewed my records, and he said, "I think we need to put you on a medication." And I said, "What would you recommend?" And he told me what it would be, and I said, "Well, how will that interact with something else that I may be taking? I have CLM, and I take a chemo pill each day." And I said, "How does that relate to that?" And he looked at his screen, and he said, "Oops, can't do that." And I said, "We can do this, then, and name something else." I said, "Doc, let me ask you a question. If I were to take that medication, would it have any side effects?" And he sat there a moment, and he said, "Probably." I said, "Then after several months of the side effects, you would recommend I go to another physician that will prescribe another medication for that side effect that will then have another side effect that another physician would issue a medication for that side effect, and it doesn't end." And he said, "Probably." I said, "I'm not taking it." And I've survived without it, but it goes back to the point of what you're saying, that most physicians just simply, I believe as you use the term, pull out the prescription pad and write up a new prescription. But I'm thankful to hear your approach to treating the body. Would you talk about getting the body in alignment? I'm familiar with that, but I want our listeners to understand. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, this is kind of a nice segue into our COVID discussion, because if we accomplish nothing from our chat today, I want to try to reassure your listeners to take a deep breath and realize that this bug, it's a nasty flu bug, but it is not the bubonic plague. And we have, and people, my patients and other people have just been absolutely terrified at the prospect of coming in contact with this virus. And so if you keep your immune system strong, and I can go through some specifics with your listeners about that, your body will take care of it just fine. And I guarantee you that we have all been exposed to COVID multiple times. And we can go through all the science and so forth behind that. But as you alluded to earlier, this idea of masks protecting us is an absolute joke. There are no convincing studies, none, that prove that masks will protect you from coronavirus. I've read all three of Judy Mikovits' books. I don't know if you're familiar with Judy, but she's a brilliant virologist. In fact, she did a lot of the original HIV research that Fauci stole some of her stuff way back when. She's a really, really brilliant gal. She says probably the only situation where a mask has any value would be if you are a healthcare practitioner in a closed space with COVID-positive patients, that might help to decrease your viral load a bit. But studies show that the masks leak. Virus goes through the mask. There's jets of air that go up and down, sideways, behind the people with masks on. Russ Blaylock has a wonderful video, and I would encourage your listeners to go to YouTube and type in Russ Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K, his thing on masks. It's about an hour long. He's a neurosurgeon, brilliant guy, and he methodically goes through all of the science and why this is all this complete and total nonsense.
Absolutely. Well, so Dr. Grable, I'm sorry. Perhaps you have already looked at the OSHA website, and I've reviewed this subject, probably have 200-300 articles on the subject that I've gleaned from various sources. And on OSHA website, this has been probably 60 days ago. I don't know if they've changed it now, but OSHA website, comparing, they gave a comparison of all of the masks. They pointed out that the pathogen is about a tenth of a micron, and the best mask, as they claim it, in the public use would be the N95. And they said that with that, the openings in the mask are about 3 microns. And so they said, OSHA website said it's like putting a chain link fence on your face to keep the gnats out. would you agree that is about the protection that you get with a mask?
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting is, you know, by OSHA standards, you're rebreathing your own air, which you don't want. Your oxygen levels are actually lower than OSHA safety standards. And this has been shown in study. It's been shown in measuring oxygen levels. You're breathing 100 times the CO2 that you're expiring or that's in the regular air. So you have that whole issue of not only is it not blocking the virus, but now you're breathing hypoxic, you know, low oxygen air that's also very high in carbon dioxide, which is also called hypercapnia. And there are abundant studies showing the negative impacts on your immune system, chronic disease, cancer, et cetera, by breathing low oxygen, high CO2 air. And I thought what was really fascinating in my research was they've done studies on surgeons and hospital personnel, and they find that most people can tolerate about an hour with a mask on. After an hour, their oxygen levels start to drop, and by 4 hours, it can really start to affect your brain function. So I really want a surgeon who's on his eighth hour of my operation wearing a mask, breathing his own air.
That's dangerous. In fact, if you read on the, and I'm sure you have read on the box of the side of a box of a fresh box of mask, it says sufficient or good for 2 to 4 hours after that discarded. And yet I've watched people get out of their vehicle to go into a store, pull a mask out of the glove box or out of their pocket or out of the door pocket, dust it off, and put it on and go in the store. Is there a detriment to that, taking a mask that's been stored and with dust and other debris and bacterial material on it, and then put that mask back on? Is that good or is that bad? What are we doing to ourselves when we do that?
Yes, actually, it of course it's bad. And what happens is, you know, when you breathe in, you're also drawing air from the sides of the mask. Okay, so you're breathing in virus. Then you exhale virus, which then some of that collects on the inside of the mask, and some of it goes through the mask. It sets up, it's nice and warm and moist, so it sets up a perfect culture medium. So what happens is, with subsequent breaths, you're breathing more and more virus into your body, which is doing the exact opposite of what we want to do. And then, of course, people are constantly fiddling with their masks and pulling them down and putting them up, and they're contaminating their hands, and then they're contaminating all the surfaces around them. The whole thing is just so absurd. And yet, because it is pounded into our head 24/7 on the media, people are absolutely convinced that they have to follow these protocols.
In fact, there are a number of people that determine that the mask is a mask mandate on a national level, and the merchants and those in those businesses are petrified to think that you would come in without a mask. Let's switch gears for a moment, and with that same thought, do you believe that the government has the authority, from your position, do you believe the government has the authority, either a mayor or a governor or the feds, do they have the authority to mandate, require by law, under the penalty of law, that citizens wear a mask?
I don't believe that they have a constitutional nor ethical moral right to do that. I know that there are people that might debate that issue, but as you pointed out earlier, you know, these things are just directives that are put out by these little governor dictators to control the masses. And I think as a people, it's interesting this gets squelched in our media, but if you look at some of the European countries, they're having tens of thousands of people out in the streets rebelling against these different policies.
And they're having major riots and demonstrations in France and in Germany now and in other of the European nations as a result of that. And yet we have our governors and our mayors today to continue to tighten down and place more and more restrictions. I'm looking at an article here, for example, from the American Renewal Project, that I believe is an honorable organization. And it says, Tucker Carlson speaking on it, says Tucker Carlson ventured in upon the COVID-19 situation in his opening monologue last week. Quote, so the question is, what exactly is this about? It's not about science. If masks and lockdowns prevented spikes in coronavirus and infections, we wouldn't be seeing spikes in the coronavirus infections for the past 9 months. But we're seeing them, so clearly the geniuses got it all wrong once again. This time, they're not even bothering to point to any legitimate scientific studies to support continuing their policies about lockdowns and about further mask wearings. They don't have anything that supports these positions, end quote. Do you know of any science that would validate that wearing a mask inside and outside, wearing a mask on a continual daily basis?
There's not. In fact, I'm going to read you something real quick, just one little paragraph from the Blaylock Wellness Report. That's that neurosurgeon I alluded to earlier. And this was from November, so this is hot off the press. A recent
Dr. Graybrell, I hate to interrupt you, but we're going to have to take about a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news.
No worries.
Hang in there. We'll be right back.
I'll be here.
V
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.